This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling. So.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire. Produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-L. What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Vincent's collection there.
Osmond had to star in America Pie, of course, as the lacrosse player. Bismarck. No, was it? Bismarck was that?
Liz Mark.
No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the things.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation. Let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
Are you feeling my Tim's, my baggy jeans, my thug appeal? Do you like it when a man can keep it real?
Oh, oh, baby, oh, bring it all to me.
Bring it on, bring it on.
But I don't need no fancy cars or diamond rings.
Diamond rings.
Oh, baby, bring it all to me.
Place to Be Nation, it is fucking cold outside, and welcome into another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast, where it's always toasty warm due to the tremendous body heat given off by my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
I'm well, JR, and I don't care how much it's better than being outside right now. So
it is cold.
Welcome, Place to Be Nation, episode 355 of the Mothership, and we're going to have more than just you and I generating heat. We're going to have a full house here tonight. Why don't we dive right in?
Yeah, of course. Of course, we were here last night talking Armageddon 03, and we got Ken Shamrock coming later in the week. But tonight,
yes,
we head back inside the Nitro Live Watch Studios because we have a really good crew with us tonight. Let's start with the man who's also feeling the cold, as Jesse Ventura used to call Too Cold Scorpio ad nauseum, the cold man. We'll call Steve Willie that tonight. Steve, how are you?
I'm good. My glasses are thawed off my face. It's -5 outside, 98 in my heart.
Supposed
I'm doing
to be,
all right.
Supposed to be, yeah, it's going to be about zero here, I know, in the morning, and that's before wind chill, so I think we're rivaling you for at least one night.
Yeah, it's gross, but hey, there's going to be fire on the Nitro screen coming soon.
That's right.
The man who's also stuck in the cold, but not as far away as Steve Willie. He's right down the road from Scott and I, and that's Glenn Butler. Glenn, welcome back.
Thanks a lot. It is cold and the wind is howling, my friends.
Howling indeed, sir.
Yes, it is. Very much so.
And normally we have Jordan Duncan here, but thankfully he's off tonight, crying over his Lions still. And with his massive ego, we had to take two guys to replace him with all the words he spews and all the talking he does on these shows. So first up, he's a veteran of the Live Watch game. You hear him on the Saturday Night's Main Event. You've heard him fill in here for Nitro before. I think he's even done a couple Raws as well. Mr. One and Only Jason Greenhouse. Greeny, how you doing?
What's up, guys? I like to think of myself as that cool, hip substitute teacher, kind of like the Rod Belding of the group here.
Yes. Hopefully you're not as big an asshole as Rod turned out to be. And rounding out the crew tonight, like I said, we had two people replacing Jordan. I think it's been almost a year since this guy was on with us here, and that is a shame and a disgrace. Of course, he is the man behind Pro Wrestling Only, along with our buddy Charles as well. You hear him here, the host of Goodwill Wrestling. He pops in and out of our other shows, too. You hear him each and every month hosting our Reaction pay-per-view podcast as well, and that is, of course, Will H. Will, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, buddy. How's it going, man?
Great. We're excited to have you back in the saddle.
I'm excited, man. I haven't talked to you in a while. JR, you've never been on our reaction show. I'm calling you out.
I know. I'm a bastard. We'll find one.
Royal Rumble, man. It's coming up.
I'm going to be there. We're going to be at the Rumble. So maybe, maybe if I get enough drinks in me and I get a little buzz going, I'll give you a call.
And just to let all of you know, it's a nice 48 degrees here in Texas.
Oh, whatever.
Nice.
Sorry. Just had to rub it in.
Get the snow tires on down there.
Got any plows? I doubt it.
If it drops below, I don't know, 30, 31 degrees, the whole city shuts down, man. It's done.
Well, the whole city's shutting down tonight because we're doing an Impact WCW Nitro live watch. Of course, Impact is starting tonight on Destination America. We wish them the best of luck in their endeavors. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, they can get their shit together and finally present some competition. But we are here, and Will himself has barely slept in 3 days. He was like, nah, I got to sleep tonight. And then an hour later, I get a text from him, fuck it, I'm in, because he wanted to watch some Nitro. And we are here to do the October 16th and 23rd, 1995 editions of Monday Nitro. And, Will, since you haven't done one of these before, what we do is we all hit play at the same time. We banter about the show. We get off topic. We make fun of everything. And then we have some categories that we grade at the end of each episode. So we have the match of the night, the most WCW moments of the night, the most random appearance of the show, and the most mid-90s person. So those are things to keep in mind as we meander through these episodes.
I love it.
All right, so if everyone's ready, I'm paused here on the faint hint of the Nitro opening animation. So I'll count us in, and we can all hit play. We can get going. Everyone good?
Yep.
Yep, we'll do it.
Steve Willey will be our audio man, as always.
Sounds good.
All right, 3, 2, 1. And, of course, as we mentioned, we have the usual opening animation. As always, Hulk Hogan dropping legs on the buildings, Luger doing press slams, explosions of excitement.
Now, the series of explosions running through the city, is that the culmination of someone's evil master plan?
Yeah.
It's Jordan Duncan's ego.
Yes. Jordan Duncan's rage after that.
It went into the atmosphere.
Game.
Yes.
So, Will, catch us up now. I know we talked a lot about those 1994 WCW pay-per-views just about a year ago. Were you watching Nitro at this time in 95? Were you engaged?
No, not at all. Okay. I don't think I even started watching wrestling again until Sold Out 97.
Okay.
I think was when I got back on the bandwagon.
Have you gone back and caught up on some of these, or is this going to be...
Absolutely, okay. Man. Absolutely. In fact, I did a yearbook project where I put together footage from, like, every company around the world for every year for the entire 90s.
There you go.
So I've watched all of this stuff, man.
Very good. Well, we get to relive it tonight along with Mongo and Pepe, baby.
Yeah, what the hell is up with that dog?
We should have been ranking Pepe's costumes.
Yes.
All this time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he's not always dressed up as an alien?
No. What was he? He was something. Okay. He was like a bat or something 1 week, and then he's been all different shit.
Didn't he have a Bears? Everyone had a Bears uniform on.
Everyone had
day.
The Bears uniform, yeah. at Rosemont.
But tonight, yeah. Mongo's dressed like El Matador. That outfit.
I was going to say, I think Pepe is dressed better than Mongo for sure.
Yes.
Olé, baby.
Yeah, you got Bischoff and Bobby almost matching, and then Mongo is just off in the ionosphere.
Yes. So we go back to Pro on Saturday morning. Flair looking dapper in his aviator shades.
Yeah, he's kicking it 1985 style right there.
Yeah. Him and Sting, anything of importance here, Willie?
Yeah, Flair is looking for a partner against Arn and Pillman. He's asked Sting to join him. Sting says, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, but if you swerve me, and this is, you know, pre-Russo, if you swerve me one time, I'm going to come after you.
We'll see if it happens as we get closer to Halloween Havoc here.
Mm-hmm. I bet that's going to turn out great.
Sting, dumbest wrestler ever.
Kimberly Page. Mm.
Here. Was she going by Kimberly yet, or is she still the Diamond Doll?
No, I think she's just the Diamond Doll.
She's just a Diamond Doll, yeah.
Yeah.
Out here, DDP. Wildcat Willie. Oh, there he goes.
It's my cousin.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, Steve Willie's cousin. This is continuing through DDP's evolution here as he continues to grow. He's got the TV title, I believe.
Yes, he does. He beat...
Where's the fanny pack?
Yes, we do need the fanny pack. His purple and green tights.
Do y'all remember when he was sporting the fanny pack?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
He's an interesting fellow, DDP. Was this the one on Saturday Night when they did the, they tried to dick Johnny B. Badd out of the title? Yeah, this is the one. Crushes it with that punch. They tried to dick him out of the title shot because Max Muscle let the air out of his tires or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Here we go. Did they say where we are?
We are in Albany, Georgia.
Oh, hotbed.
Many a pay-per-view there.
We need Chad here. Where's Albany, Georgia?
We need Jordan here.
Is that
to tell us where...
Well, this is a pretty big match. Open up Nitro. Mm-hmm. Bad and Page. Will, you still on your Johnny B. Badd kick after our 94 ventures?
Loving Johnny B. Badd, man. Still haven't gotten to see... I haven't seen a lot of his stuff from 95, 96 WWF yet. I've been wanting to revisit that, but... in 94, man, he was kind of like a super worker, you mm-hmm. know? Surprising. I forgot which podcast I heard it on that he was the highest paid wrestler or the first guaranteed contract.
Yes.
That the WWF gave out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. I think Foley talked about that in his book as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that why they all resented him? Because
yes,
pretty much.
As a worker, I couldn't understand. I was like, man, this guy's pretty great, and he was over. And
yeah, they're all pretty pissed because he's making big money. So Paige just belts him with the belt, and I don't think we're going to have much of a match here. DDP is just hammering on him.
He belted him, and he is D.E.D. dead.
Is Chad Campbell on the line? Because whoever just said that sounded just like my boy Chad and my buddy Chris Z.
Chad would be trying to fight back laughter through it.
I'm glad I could surprise you.
Actually, I guess if you were Chad, you would have spelled it D-E-D, but, you know, it's neither here nor there.
I did!
He did actually spell it D-E-D.
Shit.
Right on with that impression. So Albany is kind of like Southwest Georgia, so quite a ways away from Atlanta, Macon, Savannah. Close to our buddy Greg Phillips in Dothan, Alabama.
No, shit, I was looking forward to this match.
I know, huh? I believe they fight a Havoc, so I'm guessing this is to set that up.
Yeah, this is a they definitely fight a Havoc. So this is just a
now most WCW moment. They did ring the bell after DDP counted to three on his own, which was not supposed to happen. The match never started, and this is from what they showed before. This is revenge that DDP placed on Johnny B. Badd, because Johnny B. Badd decked him on the WCW Saturday Night set after he learned that DDP and Max Muscles slashed his tires on his car.
That's right.
And this is a big feud. It really helped both guys kind of.
It definitely helped.
Wow, another big match to look forward to.
Big match coming up.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely helped DDP, because I remember even the pay-per-views in 95, he was kind of aimlessly floating. So this was definitely big for him. Ugh, this dreadful monster truck crap.
Well, I think we're gonna figure out our match of the night here.
Yes,
the debut. If it's what we think it is, yeah, definitely.
Now is the pay per view after the two episodes we're watching tonight?
Let's see, 29th.
29th, I think.
No, the our second episode will be the go home.
Okay.
So our first episode, next go-around, will be the night after, which is actually a pretty big Nitro. So stay tuned as well.
What do we have here?
Kicking it right off here.
Eddie's got the alternate white and red tights. I always loved the other ones where the white was more prominent, but this is like the red is more prominent. It was a good tights back in the day when he first debuted. Of course, I'm also JR keeping tabs on the referees, because we're trying to figure out why we're still trying to figure out if there's extra refs.
Right. Or is it just this point? Is Brent pretty much who's it? Mark Curtis and Nick Patrick have been like doing every match on these shows?
No, Pee Wee.
Oh, sorry, Pee Wee
and Pee Wee.
Here comes the debuting Chris Benoit.
Let's look at it.
In the powder blue and a star, kind of Wild Pegasus style tights.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So kind of a re-debut, right? Obviously, he was around in. Early 93 for a bit.
Yes, he's fresh out of ECW here.
Yep, he was at Super Brawl mm-hmm. in 93. He had that fairly long match with the cold draw, man. Yeah.
Well, actually, no, it wasn't a draw. It was Scorpio won at 1959.
Yeah, and then Benoit was in
the tag tournament.
Yeah. The tag tournament, and then he left and went back to Japan or whatever.
What was your first exposure to Benoit, Will?
Nitro. It was around the time. I want to say Jeff Jarrett was Jeff Jarrett trying to become a horseman or
95?
That was 96, 97. Yeah,
that was like early 96 because he left soon after. Guys, what, in your I'm house too. You,
I got fed up with wrestling late 89, maybe even earlier, and I didn't come back until 97, early 97. And the only reason I came back was because the Royal Rumble that year was in Texas. So people at my work were talking about it and talking about wrestling like it was this hot thing. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, man, what a bunch of fucking nerds, you know?
Was that the one that ran at the biggest nerd
of them all, you know?
Was that the one that ran at the Alamo Dome, Will?
Yep, that's it. There's ads in the papers. I mean, a bunch of the guys from my work, man, I was bartending at the time. Bunch of guys at the club all went to the show, you know.
From what I remember, that drew pretty good. That drew like 60,000 in there.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. But we're talking $5 tickets. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, you know, they. I mean, like really cheap tickets for the time. Like, I mean, y'all have been to a WrestleMania. You can't get nosebleed for less than like 50. You know.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was a sick bump they both took.
Oh yeah,
Benoit just face planted himself.
I don't know, face playing yourself. Looked like Eddie landed wrong on his feet.
I think Benoit's gotten two concussions in this match just in the first couple of minutes.
For real?
Guerrero went off the top rope to the floor, hit him with a crossbody, and smacked him right in the head with it.
Eddie, I think, has been in, I guess, the same time, right? I'm trying to think when the last. I think we had this discussion last time. The last match with Dean was what, June? I think we had this discussion already.
Yeah, we had this discussion the last time. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all right. So it's been a couple.
Well, him and Dean came in to WCW together. I think Benoit might have done a quick tour of Japan after leaving ECW and then coming here.
Let me ask y'all a question. Did y'all instantly fall in love with these guys when you first saw them, or did you have to warm up to them?
I remember him showing up in 93 on syndicated show, and like he stood out right away. He was at that point he would like run the ropes ridiculously fast, and so he stood out right away. And then he was on, it's kind of like when Rob Van Dam showed up once or twice as Robbie B, and like as soon as he was on, he was disappeared right afterwards. So I knew a bit about him from like that, and then like hearing about him at J Cup. But Guerrero, I was with right away, and then I think Malenko probably for me took longer to warm up to, just because it was a completely different style.
Wow, see, I loved Malenko right away because he just felt legit, and so like it took me longer to warm up to these guys. To me, the guy who is the most amazing around this era was Rey Mysterio. Like, he's the one who really showed me something I had never seen before.
Absolutely. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, like, the high-flying ability, which was so much, even besides the other cruiserweights that are around the other luchadors, was just way above. Nice.
This was about the time I started watching ECW, and I fell in love with Eddie and Dean both immediately. With the series of matches that they had. I think right after they left is when Ray actually came into ECW and he did his program with, was it Psychosis, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated Eddie only because of the, like, his, when he, not in the ring. I hated his goofy personality when he was a face in this early run, how he'd come down and always kind of talk to the camera about, oh, WCW's number one, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it seemed like really kind of lame. And I like him in the ring, but that part of it always made him seem so stupid to me, so annoying. And I was actually, I was like Will, I liked Malenko the most early on during this run here. I think it was the music and the Iceman name and the thousand, like I feel like they gave him more depth out of the three. Eddie didn't really get going until he started doing more of the heel stuff.
Yeah, as I'm watching the 96 pay-per-views, I agree with you, JR. It seemed like he was just kind of floating around, and he would have the occasional pay-per-view match, but he was definitely, you know, fodder. And then when Jericho debuted, he got pushed back even more. So I agree with you 100% that I think it wasn't until he became a heel that he, you know, stood out on the roster.
I mean, but now looking back, I mean, getting over me being 14 and thinking Eddie was just, you know, lame. I mean, just watching this match here is just so. I mean, compared to what Raw had going on at this time, you see these two guys just beating the piss out of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was great. How's the crowd, Willie? They seem to be sitting. Are they into it at all?
A little bit. There's a few empty seats on camera too. They're kind of quiet compared to some of the previous crowds, and it might just be where they're at.
Still looks like they're giving away free Hogan tee.
I was going to mention the same thing.
There's some merchandise plants.
It's funny, Will. A couple of watches ago, there was one Nitro we did probably about four Nitros ago. And you can easily tell. I mean, everybody, and you could tell if somebody's wearing like a polo shirt and then a Hogan shirt over it, you're like, duh. I mean, who's stupid enough to dress like that? But you could definitely tell, like, you know, there were Hogan stuff all over the place. And it's like, this is a little too much. And yeah, there was no doubt that they were giving away, you know, freebies, or they were a dollar probably or something like that. Look at that guy looks like he's dressed. I don't know if that's a Laker hat or. It's hard to tell the crowd, as we've discussed in the past. It's kind of hard to make fun of anybody in the crowd.
Nice back suplex there.
Wow. Ooh, folded him up.
There's a guy in the front row. It's like we got a guy in the front row to the right of the guy with the Hogan cutoff shirt. He's got a nice denim button down shirt and a pretty swanky mullet.
And a perfectly done mullet, yes.
I was thinking that at the exact same moment you were
Nice brain buster, too, by Eddie.
Wow. Everything is done with a little bit of accent. Zip here.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of stiff suplexes going on here.
Just the snap in everything they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, everything just snaps.
And it's great, too, because of the, you know, the chemistry they had with each other, the experience they have with each other. Oof. They could go out here and just do their match and knew it was going to be really, really, really good or near flawless because they've done it so many times. They know what they're doing and they could just never done it in the stage. So they can go out and just do their, oh my, what a nasty powerbomb.
Oh my God.
They're just beating the
crap
out of
that woke up the crowd.
that was sick.
I mean, even the knees getting up on that frog splash was disgusting. And then that powerbomb was beyond disgusting.
It never mattered what year it was or what time in his career, but Chris Benoit never had the perfect, most perfect hair. Like his hair just never, it was out of place or like it just
kind of fit him.
It did.
It's the Canadian curse. Right. Have you ever seen Owen Hart? The guy had the worst haircuts ever.
Yeah. Stephen Graham.
Stephen Graham.
Brian Adams.
And that's it.
Suplex.
Geddy Lee.
Into a suplex.
Geddy Lee. Geddy Lee's allowed to have bad hair. He's a frontman of Canadian's Greatest Band.
I'm with you. Hey, but
well, Alex Lifeson used to have a pretty lousy perm back in the 80s. So,
where are all those kids in the crowd running? It's like the match is over, and suddenly there's a stampede going on.
Well, they run to the
aisle.
To the aisle. And slap
the
hands.
Hands. Yeah.
Unless somebody just said free Hogan shirts, free Hogan shirts.
So I think this is probably the best match in Nitro history to date.
I would definitely.
Yeah. Definitely better than Eddie and Dean that we saw.
And that was good. This was longer. I think that's what it was. I think this match took longer to.
I mean, even a beautiful full Nelson German suplex.
Yeah. Do we even have to argue what match of the night's going to be?
Well, we haven't seen what else is on the card, Will. But yeah, I'm thinking we're pretty confident here. We may still have a shark match to come, you know.
Plus, with it being Benoit's debut, he's really going all out.
Oh yeah. A sign of things to come. Kind of forgotten early in the card. They go all out, wrestle their ass off, and then we'll be talking Hogan and Shark next.
Well, all right, let's get to Hogan.
So two quick points here. One is Heenan really putting Benoit over as a talent and someone who's going to hold gold very soon. Second is Bischoff right now talking about how the international committee has decided to make a cruiserweight division. And Guerrero, Malenko, and Benoit will be there now that they've reached the shores of WCW. Malenko had to go farther.
The shores? They washed up on a raft, and here they are. Might as well throw them in the Cruiserweight division. That's cool, though. It was good timing, obviously. Launched a new title with the new show, importing all these guys. Made a lot of sense. I mean, Gene chilling that hotline.
I call that up.
I mean, I was watching Starrcade 93 at the gym before. They have the all that awkward Gene and Ric Flair in the limo driving up, and they were being all, like, you would think they were
serious.
Married driving up, yes, for all, very sensitive and emotional.
Yeah, didn't Gene pick him up at his house?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all a little.
Yeah.
It was just like, awkward. Like Flair's like preparing for the biggest match of his life, and he's got Gene, like, whispering about his career and how scary it is that Flair, all the stuff Vader's done. It was an odd, kind of odd way to say. I mean, it was cool, but it seemed like something that should have been done, like, on Saturday night or something leading up to that more than the night of the show.
Mm. I remember, yeah.
And here he is. Oh, the Giant. Kevin Sullivan.
Speaking of perms.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Look at trim, though.
Yes. It was about a two-year stretch where Giant was in, well, maybe 3 years into 98, and Giant was in really good shape. Free Hogan shirt.
Andre,
I'm surprised. I'm surprised when Hogan got there that Sullivan was allowed to still wear red and yellow anything.
Yeah, because I don't think they even really play it off that he's mocking him, right? Doesn't he just have?
I thought that was the whole purpose.
Oh, is it? Oh, maybe it is. Yeah,
I don't know. I never remember them ever really talking about it.
Our '90s candidate, maybe that kid in the red, white, and blue flag shirt with the bowl cut. He was standing up a second ago behind Gene.
Yeah, I saw him. I saw him.
Where does a kid in Albany, Georgia get Bret Hart sunglasses? Did they ever go there? I can't imagine they did. Oh, man, they did.
Might have ordered it from a catalog.
That's right. Good call. Did you own any Bret Hart sunglasses, Will?
Never.
How about you,
I'm not Glenn? Canadian, man. I don't fall for that bullshit.
How about you, Glenn?
No, not the biggest Bret Hart guy.
Well, your memorabilia was red and yellow.
Glenn wishes he was getting one of these free t-shirts. It's killing him!
I had to pay for my Hogan shirt, damn it!
True story, the only wrestling shirt I've ever owned, Tito Santana, Ariba.
I hope that was recent.
That's a good one.
You still have it?
No.
Oh.
I think it even had rainbows on it, man. I was a little fruity kid, man. I'm sorry.
Which is why you walked away from the business at the height of your career.
It's because I hit puberty, man. I wanted to actually get girls to talk to me, and I think I was a social outcast. See, a lot of y'all grew up in the 90s, right, when wrestling was hot and had the Attitude Era. Man, if you liked wrestling as a teenager in 1989, 88, you might as well have been a pariah, you know?
Yeah.
I was the only guy in my middle school who wasn't into wrestling. I didn't get into it at all during the Attitude Era.
Yeah, pretty much all the guys in my class, I mean, I was in high school, 88, 89, and we all liked it and never really bothered anybody, really. Probably because of this part of the country. Probably because being in this part of the country where WWF is so prevalent, you know, it was you know, kind of cool. And
yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I mean, being in elementary school in New York in 89 and 90, is, you know, Savage, Hogan, Warrior, everybody, you know, if you didn't have a t-shirt, you were watching Superstars every Saturday morning.
What is this brawl thing going on in the beginning of Impact? Sorry, I had to turn my head. What the hell is this?
I don't know.
It's like a Raw from 93. All we need is Perfect or Sean going through Finkel's windshield, and we're all set.
They could do worse.
True. The for me, wrestling fan, all boys high school, it didn't really matter, Will. So
exactly.
Well, yeah, I went to an all boys high school, too.
Wouldn't
have
mattered.
Same thing.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, man. I've only heard about guys who did that.
Now you know them. Two
nice
awesome
Tito
dudes.
Shirt.
Well, one awesome dude. What did Giant have to say there, Willie? Anything important?
It was more Sullivan doing the talking. Sullivan saying about how he's finally converted Hogan to evil, and they took away his identity by shaving his mustache, and he has nothing left but a carcass of a heart. And then the Giant made a bunch of car metaphors and puns, talking about the big monster truck match coming up. Bumper to bumper, they're going to hook up grill to grill.
And then machine versus machine. Hogan looks so happy in that picture. And then he morphs.
Oh, and Grimace,
roll out. Grimace seems to be in the background.
Yes.
Of the graphic. I'll say this every time until Halloween Havoc is over. I still want to know like who thought this was a good idea. To have this monster truck battle on the roof. Who thought this would be?
Oh, look what we have coming up next.
Yeah, well, I think too soon with that match of the night.
Oh, hell. You know what? Honestly, with the way I watch wrestling now, this might just be my match of the night.
Oh, well, yeah. They beat the shit out. I'm sure they're going to beat the shit out of each other. We'll see. Running an adversary. Hogan with the black and that black neck brace. This never gets old to me. How absurd he looks.
With the partially shaved mustache.
Oh, that's ridiculous. No.
We're not getting into that again.
Oh, no, really?
We heard enough of your thoughts on Hulk Hogan, Glenn, with your article on fantasy booking his life.
Yeah, I know.
I think you should pick it up and do the rest of his career and life, like even right through Hogan Knows Best, how that could have went.
I think in my history, Hogan Knows Best never happened.
That show wasn't bad early on, though. Like
no.
When they were happy, and it was like a kind of a reality TV wasn't huge yet, and he was one of the first ones in. Like I remember being really excited to watch some of those because it was.
I did love the pool party where he had like Beefcake and Knobs and Haku and everybody over.
And you didn't get a lot of wrestling stuff back then outside of wrestling, you know. So like it was still kind of unique to see something like that.
Oh, no doubt. I loved it when they tried to impress their Jewish neighbors by buying kosher food.
Good Lord.
What the fuck is he wearing? I'm
He's
sorry.
He's got like a half lucha mask of some sort.
Yeah, a superhero.
But it looked like it was picked up at a garage sale.
Yeah, it seemed like...
It's like his version of the blue blazer.
Yes, it seemed like it's like all crooked. And
it doesn't fit.
It's like he stole it.
What the fuck?
Oh, okay.
What the fuck? Here we go.
Now we've got a show.
We'll have to mention Disco Inferno and dancing again.
Hey, and this is something nobody can deny. Hacksaw Duggan by 1995 is stellar as fuck, but he's still probably the most over guy in any arena. You know, just people love this guy.
He looks a lot better here than he did in the Raw rewatch that we did a few weeks ago.
Oh, my God. He looked awful. There we go. Throwing haymakers right out of the gate. I'm curious if this wins Will's match of the night. I'm hoping they get some time to beat.
So far, so good, man. These shots are being laid in there, man. That's. Nick, I kind of don't like Ming's fake karate, though. You know, I just wish he'd just kind of kick ass. And
he gets out of that by the beginning of 96, I think. He does it a lot in 95, this kung fu kind of thing.
He's bigger, but on the trimmer side compared to where he'd get with the gut later on.
Hold on. Did Duggan just fall down by himself?
Yeah.
He did, right? Like, he just fell down.
Yeah, he totally did.
Okay. Maybe he was... okay, yeah, this isn't going to win my match of the night, guys.
Trying to sucker him in for a second.
So those punches there weren't doing it for you, Will?
I'm digging the punches, but the bad psychology.
So, by the way, I mentioned Mark Curtis before. He has not been on yet. It's only been Nick Patrick and Pee Wee have been doing all the matches.
Yes. Yep. And they pretty much, based on my notes here, they just pretty much alternate.
Every
match to match. Yeah, pretty much.
The Savat kick.
Mm.
Oh, Duggan selling it like death. And the Tongan death grip. He's just doing the spike here still, right? He's not doing the death grip yet.
No, it's like the Asiatic spike type deal, like Gordy.
Yep. This I would say this falls quite short of Eddie and Benoit.
I had hopes.
Actually, that's the old Killer Khan spike that Terry.
Yeah.
The Oriental spike.
The Oriental spike. Thank you.
Yeah, I think he doesn't like start doing the death grip until later when they do the Faces of Fury starts doing the death grip.
Now we're going straight to our main event after this.
Well, it's going to be a long one, I guess.
Mm.
Well, it's a big one.
Pillman and Anderson versus Sting and Flair.
Isn't that my match of the night.
Isn't that the we might get a screwy thing here, though. I thought that's the Havoc match.
You know, for Havoc, aren't they doing Savage? That's the Savage and the guy. I apologize.
God, Hogan at the black. Even the black friggin' graphic in the background. Jimmy Hart in black.
Love is...
Well, these are dark days.
Neck brace.
The neck brace is so absurd.
So see, even before he turned Hollywood, he was already wearing all black.
You know what the neck brace reminds me of? It reminds me of an episode of the Brady Bunch where they rear-end a car and the guy shows up in court wearing a neck brace.
Happens on most sitcoms. There's at least one of those episodes.
It does look absurdly fake. Like, it's comically big or something, and it's like shoving his head. It's just odd. The whole thing is odd.
Oh, it looks like he's trying to elongate his neck.
It is. Yeah, it's weird.
The greatest thing would have been if Bobby Heenan accused him of, nefarious deeds here. When Bobby Heenan wore neck brace for like a year and a half.
Oh, yeah, with the Patera angle.
You know, Gorilla used to have actual x-rays on those episodes. Gorilla was like, had the, all this medical expertise pointing. Look right there. See that crack in the fourth?
The never-ending storyline on Primetime Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Kept Patera pretty much.
Yeah.
I love that the graphic, they just took the yellow and red graphic and just made it grayscale.
Yep. Go grayscale. Print it grayscale.
One cross isn't enough for Hogan. He's got to wear two.
I'm extra God.
Extra faith.
Long promo here. But no, yeah, I'm pretty sure the Havoc match is this one, so I wouldn't get your hopes up, Will. There's a good chance we get hosed out of it because I'm pretty confident that's the match we get at Havoc.
Yeah, because I think Flair and Sting fight at World War III.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so.
I'm sorry, Glenn, I love you.
Why is Jimmy Hart quivering?
He's shaking back and forth.
And is that a shadow from his chin, or is that like a lame-ass chin strap of hair under Jimmy Hart's chin? I can't tell if it's just a shadow from his double chin.
That is
come on, man.
that's like a soul patch or something. Oh.
No, I see the soul patch under his lip, but then it looks like he almost has
under
like
his chin. Yeah, I see what you're talking about.
But I think it's just the shadow. I think it's a shadow.
Yeah.
No, it's his jowls.
True story. Jimmy Hart, second nicest guy at WWE Access behind Hillbilly Jim.
Hillbilly is incredibly nice. I will say that.
Yes, he is. Yep.
This is Jimmy. Which one did you go to, Will?
The first Rock Cena.
Okay, 28.
Oh, Miami. Okay. JR and I talked to Hillbilly Jim at the mall in Stamford here in Connecticut before WrestleMania 21, before the bus trip, the cross-country bus. And he's...
Okay. Rephrase that. Norman Smiley is by far the nicest guy ever. But I meant, legends.
It was
Norman
right before
Smiley
24/7.
Talked to us. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna finish about Hillbilly Jim. This was pre on demand or 24/7. He's like, remember? JR goes, "What'd you say? What do you know about 24/7? I'm sure I'll let you know." Like he was gonna call you. Remember? Like, here's your phone. Here's your cell phone number. I'll give you a call. I'll let you know. He was so accommodating, and he signed our figures of him. So
he did.
Well, you were saying about Norman Smiley.
No, just he didn't talk to us for like 40 minutes, like in the middle of Access, just shooting the shit,
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, just, because Access on Sundays are really dead.
Right.
And so we went early Sunday before WrestleMania, and it really was like he just the best guy ever. Norman Smiley. Thumbs up to Norman.
looking at my Hillbilly Jim signed figure right now, limited edition.
Nice.
Yep, I have mine on my wall. In case you didn't know, Willie. Was it Willie or was it you, Glenn, about the Halloween Havoc promo? But maybe it was you, Willie.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that it would fall between our shows.
That's right. That's right.
I guess I'll probably go watch that before we do the next one.
Yeah. Yes, because this one is... yeah, yes.
I believe I watched that on the Scramble Vision. Mm. On my old 13-inch.
Scramble Vision.
Flair coming out on his own.
It's purple.
One of his
Flair
best robes.
Flair looking resplendent tonight.
Yes, it's one of his best robes.
Did he almost fall down backwards down the ramp?
I think he did. I think he was, taken aback by the fireworks.
Filmer's got an interesting look there, Scott, with the tights.
Yeah.
The fringe flying off the side.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Whoa, those are pretty cool horseman
pretty
shirts.
Cool horseman shirts, yeah.
I don't remember those coming out. Wow, those are nice.
Is fringe on the tights, is that maybe the most 90s thing in wrestling?
That is a pretty big one, but this fringe is really flying off the sides.
This wow. makes Savage's fringe look like nothing.
He wanted Johnny B. Bad money Savage is what week. Happened.
So Sting not out here?
Heenan's talking about how he hasn't seen Sting all day. Maybe something's transpired.
Maybe Max Muscle let the tire out of his ear, air out of his ear.
I love that Flair chops him and the referee falls down.
I know, yeah. A little over exaggerated. What's it like, Will, coming back? I mean, now were you a WCW NWA fan in the '80s, or were you just WWF?
Oh no, I was super every type of wrestling fan.
So what was it like to come back and watch these, and all of a sudden you find out Flair and Arn had like this feud out of nowhere?
Well, that had already passed by the time I came back.
But
you know,
even going back and watching
learning about it,
yeah.
To me, I just gobbled. Like, when I, like, because 1999, I stopped watching WCW on a regular basis. And after Owen Hart died, I really stopped watching WWF for about 6 months as well. And so then I just immersed myself in wrestling history. So I just gobbled it all up, just tried to learn about what I missed in, like, you know, the 7-8 years I stopped watching, you know. So I was just fascinated by all of it, you know.
Yeah, it was even jarring to, you know, I was watching at the time, and it was just like, kind of felt weird to see them going at it. For sure.
Yeah, it was definitely an odd feud. Might have been a respect thing for Arn, like, because I was stunned when he won the match at Fall Brawl. I never expected that.
No, they have been referring to to their credit, the announcers have been referring to the fact, why would Sting trust Flair? You know, based on their past, why would they trust him? But also, if Arn and Brian Pillman were in on this, why is Flair fighting them right now? So they're actually having some intelligence words regarding the match. And that's with Mongo McMichael talking.
What do you think, Pepe?
Last time I heard Mongo talking, it was on commercials for strip clubs outside of Chicago.
Well, isn't that what they say? Isn't that what they say on the Horseman DVD? That, like, we saw him when WCW ended, Mongo just vanished. We don't know where he went. Somebody said, oh, he went to a strip club and he never came back.
Yeah, he was doing like Monday night football viewings at a strip club outside.
That's
of...
awesome. They should let him DJ. All right, baby. Coming up next, we got Lollipop.
I got friends with Lollipop, baby.
Calling Daisy to the stage.
Give it up for my girl Cinnabon.
Cinnabon.
Here comes our bitch Deborah coming out now. Very active match so far, obviously. Three high-energy guys.
High energy.
Yeah, this has been moving right along.
Flair, that is class right there. Coming off the top, hitting the axe handle right into the strut. I mean, he even stopped. He literally landed and was strutting as he landed. It's almost like he was strutting in midair.
Like Lucha Flair.
Nice spine buster.
Hey, Sting, master foreshadowing of the Wolfpack angle.
Yes, huh?
Yes.
Still got the blonde hair, though, going here. He hasn't started to let it grow out yet. It's coming soon, though, I think.
Yeah, definitely by, like, World War III, it's getting pretty... It's a little dark here.
I always like unshaven Sting with the little... Like, he just woke up out of bed. He's got the little goatee going on.
Gotta wake up, slap on your face paint.
You know, never been a Sting fan.
No?
Ever.
Like, not like him, or just don't... Are you ambivalent?
Ambivalent, man. Like, just, like, not a guy that, like, I would change the channel for, you know? Not a guy I would, like, you know, if there's something on Raw and Sting's coming up for an interview or something, I'm not changing Raw, you know, to see Sting.
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of. Yeah. I've been the kind of that way too, Will.
Yeah, not very high on my list too. This is like I've been watching some UWF lately, and Sting with Eddie Gilbert at the point where I'm watching the difference between the look of Sting then and how chiseled and jacked he is right here in 95 is astonishing.
Mm.
I have no idea how that could have happened. Hard work and determination.
Juicing,
meeting his
actual
tag team
juicing,
partner.
None of the drug persuasion.
Meeting his Blade Runner partner probably helped.
Yes,
yes.
See, I remember when the Blade Runners debuted. Like, that's how old I am, and I was watching that UWF live when it happened. You know, and you know, back then, it's like, man, Road Warrior ripoffs,
right? You know? Right,
and then. You see Demolition coming out in their S&M gear, and as you know, and I'm sorry, man. Like when the Road Warriors are the first thing you're exposed to, you don't think Road Warrior ripoffs. You think fat and old Road Warrior ripoffs.
How dare you?
You know, it was just WWF country. Sorry, it's just the reality of the times and the part of the country I was in, man. It's just not a big Demolition fan either.
Well, you could take your 40 degree weather and your Demolition haters.
That would be the Road Warriors in 98, right?
Yes.
No, we're talking.
I'm going to get rid of you, Glenn.
Night of the Skywalkers, Iron Man killing the Mulkies on Saturday mornings. You know, that Road Warriors.
That's exactly. I agree with you 100%, Will.
Now, Justin, Demolition. Have I ever told you guys my Road Warrior story, meeting them at the mall?
I don't think so.
No.
So this is, you know, they were instrumental in starting Zubaz, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So around this time, you know, we have, where I grew up, there was a huge mall called Woodfield Mall, which is known kind of the second biggest mall in the Midwest next to Mall of America. And so I was there randomly with my mom and my sister at like a JCPenney. And, you know, I'm a wrestling fan at this point. It's probably like 84, 85. And sitting in the JCPenney, like sporting goods section by themselves, Hawk and Animal, just like, out of the blue. There's no advertisement, just sitting at a table. So my sister and I just went walking. She's probably like, I'd guess like 7 or 8 years old at the most. I'm about 12. They're signing posters for free. They're promoting Zubaz. There's nobody, not one person there. It's probably the middle of the week. Go up, like I'm like, you know, marking out as a little kid would when he sees, you know, the Road Warriors. Signs my poster. He signs Hawk, signs one for my sister, gives it to Animal. He signs the poster, gives it to my sister, just pulls it away from her. My sister must have jumped like 30 feet in the air, turns just white as a sheet, white as a ghost. It starts crying a little bit. It's beautiful. One of the best wrestling memories ever.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
And she still went home and put the poster on her wall. No idea who they were. I don't know where the poster is. I've probably gone, but.
I met four wrestlers as a kid, man. The Big Bubba, who used to work for Memphis and All-Star Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Not the boss man, Big Bubba, just Bubba. And then Ted DiBiase, Terry Taylor, and Chavo Guerrero at a UWF house show.
Hmm.
Chavo Sr. This is a great run.
Yeah, Chavo Classic, man.
Chavo Classic.
So Flair and Sting won this by countout. Pillman and Arn bailed.
Yes.
Fun brawl, but definitely clearly setting up the Havoc match by not going all the way with it here.
Having a
didn't even come close to the Eddie Benoit match, man. Just lay that out there.
All right. So I think we're pretty much close to wrapping this up. Why don't we do our awards while Sting and Flair continue to talk? So we have our match of the night. I think we're all in agreement. Like I said, Benoit-Eddie.
Benoit-Eddie, yeah.
What is our most WCW moment of the night?
Who are you talking to?
All of us. Anyone. All right, Willie.
It's that dog. It's that fucking dog.
It's either the dog. I would say them ringing the bell after DDP counted to three.
What do you think, Glenn?
I'm going to go with Steve.
Jay?
I like the Pepe thing that Will said.
Scott?
I like Willie, the bell ringing thing, but I also like the Flair, like, strut off the top rope finisher, kind of like in one fell swoop, and I think that's pretty cool, too. But I'll take the bell ringing thing.
All right, I'll go with Pepe so we have a tie, so we can put them both down.
All right, well, hold on. Let's talk about this bell ringing thing.
Okay.
Now, I'm old, so I have a bad memory. Did they ring the bell like, hey, get some people out here because he cheated?
No, it was
the bell like the match is over.
Yeah. The match is over. Right after he hit the three, they go ding, ding, ding. The referee didn't signal for the bell at all. It was just a three ding, match is over.
Oh, okay. Well here's the problem with that bell ringing thing. I'm just going to argue my side here. Just
while
we're killing time. Actually, I'm trying to load the next show. That's why. I'm not going to remember that. I'm going to remember this dog dressed up as an alien.
As an alien.
Well, I don't know. We don't know what the dog's dressed as next week.
That's right. We'll have to see. All right, let's go to split it there. We'll That's call it fair. A tie on that one. Most random appearance. I don't think we really had one, did we? Anyone random on there?
No. No, pretty straightforward episode.
Yeah, Jimmy Hart's a soul patch.
All right, we'll call that. Jimmy Hart's double chin soul patch. And most mid-90s person. I like the American flag t-shirt.
The American
guy.
Flag kid, the guy in the front row with the denim and the mullet.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, the denim mullet.
And then we got Pillman's tassels as well. All right, let's go around the table. Greeny?
I'm going to take denim guy.
Willie?
I'm going to go with the little kid with the American flag, the bowl cut, and the 2x4.
Will?
Yeah. That sounds like a good one. No. If he has a 2x4 in his hand, that's pure 80s. That kid was living in the past. We're going with mullet, man.
Glenn?
One of the things that I really identify with the 90s
is
huge glasses. Because I had them. My whole family had them. A whole lot of people had them. And I saw some reflections of some honkers in the crowd tonight. I know they had them in the 80s and the 70s, too.
Are you talking about Bono's fly glasses?
What's that?
You're talking like Bono's fly glasses?
No, we're talking like...
No, just regular glasses. It's just because of the way they were making them at the time. They were huge.
Like the nerd glasses.
Yeah. The big circles.
Yeah, like the really big frames.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like my entire childhood, I had glasses that touched my eyebrow and cheek.
Yeah, me too.
Just on both sides, just completely covered.
All right, Scott, what do you like?
I got to go with Greeny's mullet denim shirt combo.
All right, that has the vote, so we'll go with that. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with October 23rd.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends.
Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show. I break down matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick. With over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
This is the king of old school, Steve Carino, the true voice of Ring of Honor, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast.
All right, Nation, we're back. One Nitro's in the books, another one to come. First, we're going to head over to PlacementNation.com, talk about what we have going on there. We had a new installment of the Five Count, looking at 2014's MVPs. Interesting group there, right, Steve Willie?
It is right. I'm ready to get raked over to the coals. I'm getting defensive. I'm excited, but of course, my good friend Ben Morse and my other good friend Aaron George, aka Cobra Commander, are backing me up.
Always good to hear. Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walker on the Web has some demented grimace and Ronald McDonald picture, so be sure to check that out.
Always
intriguing. Always intriguing world of the web there from Glenn. Greatest song in the 90s tournament. winding down round two ends on Saturday, and we'll give you a couple days to get those votes in. So get over there and get those votes in now. A lot of interesting matchups still to come. Of course, once we get to 128 next week, we'll go down to the bracket round. We'll get out of the pools, and then we'll start finding out what is the best 90s song. Armageddon 2003, Scott, you and I chatted about that last night, and that's up there now, as well as a new episode of Titans of Wrestling, looking at May and June of 81. Coming this week, the Sports Lounge talked to Rob Carpenter, former NFL receiver. They talked about the openings on the coaching vacancies, and they talked about a little bit of the draft, Jameis Winston and whatnot. So be sure to check that out, Rob. Very knowledgeable guy, of course, has been inside the locker room and on the field, so he has a pretty cool insight. So be sure to check that out. Also, Scott and I chatted with Ken Shamrock. That'll be up on Friday as well, talking a little bit about his WWF career, what he's up to now. Kent's also going to be joining the Sports Lounge for a special edition this weekend, too, to talk MMA exclusively. So double dose of the most dangerous man in the world coming at you here at PlaceMination.com. And Will, your buddy Charles, with a great installment. We're going to be weekly here at PlaceMination.com this week in 90s wrestling, taking a look at different matches and clips and interviews and promos and memorable moments throughout the 90s and all over the world of wrestling, Japan, Mexico, United States, Canada, you name it. He's got it in there. Anthony, you want to talk about that for Charles?
Just look forward to it, man. Guy's a great writer. He's currently writing a book on his 500 best matches of the 90s, and it's by far the wrestling project I'm looking forward to the most, man. And he knows his shit, man. He knows his shit, so... You can find him at Pro Wrestling Only if you want to go talk to him there. So, thumbs up to him.
Very cool. We look forward to a strong year 2015 here at PlaceMation.com, and Charles will be a big part of it with those installments as, like you said, we get ready for his book. So, all right, PlaceMation.com, Twitter, Place2BNation, Facebook.com/PlaceBNation as well. Join the fun. Follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you want. There as well. Of course, we have tons of podcasts and a bunch of new ones coming in 2015 as well. So be sure to stand by for those announcements. All right, fellas, is everyone ready to head over to the October 23rd Nitro?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Indeed, let's do it.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Back in the alley.
Mm-hmm. Lots of fire.
It does look like a scene out of like Batman or something, where they're just destroying Gotham.
Yes.
Like the 89 got Batman, too. Like, not, yeah. Not. It's like 6 years dated.
So this is the go home Nitro before Halloween Havoc.
Thank God. That video is just the worst.
And tonight we are in...
Huntsville, Alabama, baby. The NASA Space Center.
Staying down in the Panhandle area.
Mm-hmm.
Off Albany. My eyes may deceive me, but I think that's Kurosawa in the ring. If I can see from way up here. Let's see if I'm accurate.
Usually we do the table shot, but it looks like we're going right to a match here to start things off. Nope. Savage.
Hello.
Yep, speaking of tassels.
Totally tasseled out. Good colors. Very bright.
Happy tassels Savage. From his shoulders to his knees, they reach.
We're Savage on your all-time rankings here, Will.
Oh man, top. I'm gonna say at least top 50. Y'all, worldwide or American?
Let's go American.
American top 20, 25 worldwide top 50. Hmm. You know, I mean, he's really, really smart. When he always has been ever since he was in Memphis. He's really a smart wrestler. Great selling. Look, he's probably going to sell the hell out of it in this match. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know. Savage is up there, man. He kind of made late 80s WWF really good wrestling to watch, you know? Getting good matches out of guys who had no business having good matches at the time.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Kurosawa with some nice stiff kicks to start off here.
Now, Glenn, where does Kurosawa rank on your combined director-wrestler list?
Oh, he's got to be top 5,000 easily.
Are there any others?
Wait, hold on.
I don't know if there are
hold
any
on,
others.
Hold on. Director, he might be number one.
Yes, okay. One period.
And wrestler, he's 10,000, so we're averaging it out, Will. Yeah. He's 5,000.
And to keeping a watch on our referees, JR, this is the first time in 3 weeks that Pee Wee is opening the match, doing the first match. It's been Nick the last 2 weeks. So.
What about Lord Alfred Hitchcock? Is he on there?
Lord Alfred Hitchcock.
I get a guffaw from Glenn. I'll take it.
Guffaw.
Kurosawa. Now, was he, part of my ignorance with Kurosawa, does anyone know, was he anything anywhere else notable?
That I know of. Will?
I'm at a loss, man. I have no idea.
Yeah,
I'm guessing a New Japan guy, right?
Yeah, he just comes in for this run in 95, breaks Hawk's arm, and then doesn't do much else.
Yeah.
Don't mind me. I'm picturing Lord Alfred Hayes directing Vertigo.
Making appearances in every movie.
That's when you need my buddy Chris Zellner. A sick encyclopedia of knowledge that he is to answer this, because I have no idea.
He was Manabu Nakanishi in Japan. So he was in New Japan.
I didn't know that was the same guy. Yeah. Dude, he's really young here then.
Yeah, he was, he was born, he debuted in 92, he was born in 67. So, yeah, about, 28 here?
Yeah, but okay. As Nakanishi, he I think he had a nice run, maybe 2002-ish, somewhere around that time.
Yeah, 96 to the present. He's been still in New Japan, it looks like. Started in Japan, came here just for about, almost
Carl Gotch, Joe Malenko, Hiroshi Haas, Kensuke Sasaki.
Haas, Steve Willis, Haas.
Oh, it's all about the Haas, right?
That's right.
This is the running joke.
Savage. I mean, I know Savage's thing was always to get his ass kicked, but I feel like when he came to WCW, he took it even up the notch, where he literally never gets any offense in a match at all until...
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yeah.
Until the body slam and then the big elbow.
I mean, it was always like that in WWF, but not to this extreme. Like, I feel like from here until he turns heel, that's all it is just...
Well, that's Savage's face shtick, right?
Yeah. Gets to get jumped, his ass. He slides to the ring, gets attacked, and then is done till the finish. And he was great at it.
He's wearing what looks to be either Muppets or pompons on his boots that are lime green.
Oh, my God. How many Muppets have died to give their pelts to Randy Savage?
Yes.
The creamsicle tights aren't enough. I need Muppet blood on my boots.
Oh, this commercial. Whose idea was this?
Thank God. It should be the last time, hopefully, we see it. That crystal ball gets me every time.
I like the fact that they still are showing. They're still showing Vader, and he left the company a month and a half ago.
Grave. And I know we talked about the monster truck stuff. Is it big down there for you, Will? Because Chad got all on our shit because we kind of made fun of it, and we're surprised that it's still going. And apparently, it's big down there. Is it big in your area?
Yeah, no, it's pretty huge. In fact, I don't know if they do it now, but I know when my kids were really young. They used to have a huge monster truck extravaganza that would fill up a large portion of the Alamo Dome here in San Antonio.
Was it on Sunday?
Fuck, I don't know.
Sunday.
Those were the best commercials.
Yeah. No, I think it was on a Sunday. So to be quite honest with you, you can go down and, stand next to the trucks and, before the show started. And it's like its little monster truck access.
Kids tickets still only $5.
And they're fucking loud, man. You got to wear earplugs for those shows, man. But it's pretty huge, man. Gravedigger and all that stuff, man. It was.
Yeah, I think it is still big. In Milwaukee, when I was down there for the Marquette game last weekend, they had a interview as a preview for a 2-day Friday and Saturday night deal this month, including a Scooby-Doo monster truck.
I wish they would just do this driving from town. Obviously not, I guess, right? They transport them. Maybe also they just drove them around from town to town.
Kind of except Sturgis with all the motorcycles, just a whole row of monster trucks on the highway.
got to clear the state roads because they take up both lanes.
Yes, pretty much.
So Kurosawa misses a kick on the floor, kicks the post, gives Savage an opening here.
Still hasn't had any offense at all, right?
No, zero.
And we're on the second.
No, he is in such pain still.
Looking through the crowd here, see if we see any nominations for most 90s.
There's some offense right there.
I see Hogan shirts.
Oh, come on.
There's a lot of flannel in this crowd.
There it is. That was it. Big elbow, and we're done.
A close end of the back of the head.
Dude, that is the worst way to set up the big elbow. Let me casually roll over. Christ.
That's respect, Will. I will set you up perfectly.
It's kind of like with the honky warrior finish at SummerSlam 88.
Yeah, where he's like, yeah.
where honky's his position's all off and he...
casually moves his leg.
Yeah.
Big win for Macho.
A win over such an acclaimed director, of course.
Yes.
They're really making a big deal about Savage having to go against Kamala with the Zodiac in his corner at Halloween Havoc in 1995.
It is absurd.
I've seen Kamala have two good matches ever.
Undertaker at SummerSlam 92?
No.
Probably
Doink on Raw
93.
No,
probably
right,
let's check in on the class.
It was
let's check in on the dog now.
Oh, sorry. Ooh, what's he wearing? Denim?
Yeah, he's wearing denim with a little denim cowboy hat.
Canadian
Shut
tuxedo.
Shut the fuck up.
He borrowed that guy's shirt from the last episode.
That is a hell of a shirt from Mongo. I mean, the cream on the denim. I mean, this is 90s. This is my most 90s.
His shirt is
this
his
is
shirt 90s.
Is this is my grandfather. This is my grandfather in the early 80s.
90s New Mexico.
Just throw a bolo tie on him and you're good.
All right, so what are these Kamala matches, Will?
Okay, the Kamala matches are Street Fight versus Hulk Hogan from early 1987 or early 1987, and a random show, I want to say JAPW versus Jerry Lawler in 2003.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Was it as exciting as this right now?
My man, Keith Curtis.
That is really late for Kamala because his health
kind
of took a downturn not long after.
Shocked. What the fuck?
I thought he had a good package has arrived from the north face of Mount Everest. The Sherpa guides have dug him out from a 13-ton of ice.
Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Oh my God. Sullivan, no, my son!
Just reading his mother-in-law's Facebook status.
13-ton piece of ice that really just looks like a giant, hefty.
Oh, I know who's
bag.
In there. I know who's in there.
By God.
I don't know if we get to see him tonight, though. Anyone else know who's in that block of ice?
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think I remember.
Not the gobbledygooker.
Andrew Risch. Dunking a basketball.
Are you going to see him?
Is it the Yeti?
Yeah, it is, I think.
Is it?
I think it is the
is
Yeti.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Who wants to be in a big frozen block of ice transported from a mountain with a Sherpa while the wizard sits under the throne above the room?
I was hoping it'd be Ric Flair.
The Zodiac.
Rick Martel.
If it was Rick Martel, you might have actually gotten a good match out of it.
Mm. Does the Yeti even ever have a match? I think he's just in the World War III, right? That's it. So is the wizard on a screen, or is he up on the fucking balcony? Where the hell is he?
He's on some sort of screen that's up there, okay. It looks like.
Weird. I mean, it's a kind of cool visual, this camera shot of the giant.
I thought he was actually in the arena.
Yeah, me too, when they first got to him. This is maybe the best camera shot they've ever done, even though it's completely asinine and inane what's going on here.
Yeah, yep. I was just thinking that too, how they kind of slowly panned out and then went down.
Mm-hmm. Gene and Sullivan just towered by the giant.
Oh, with them standing behind him, so the forced perspective makes him look 9.5 feet tall.
Smart to Sullivan. Put Sullivan. Let him talk for him.
Mm. Sullivan doesn't think there's one bit of goodness left in Hogan's heart.
Well, it's completely black.
Well,
I know some people on the internet who'd agree.
Hogan.
Are they still pushing the Andre Sun thing at this point? Or is that done already?
That's done.
Bobby would mention it intermittently, I think, still.
Yeah.
Like on pay-per-view. Not often, but Bobby, I think, would still say it every once in a while.
What a
they haven't mentioned it the last two episodes.
But I think it's only through, like, the end of this year. Definitely by, like, 96, it's gone.
It was usually like, if this man's father was here to hear what he's saying right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, you're right, Greeny. But by 96, he's forgotten.
Now, in the last episode, Hogan and his promo called the big stinky giant 4 times. So I'll keep track of that if you see a Hogan promo this week.
Just like his daddy.
You big, stinky, gnarly, nasty giant.
Big, stinky, wart-infested giant.
Now, what I never understood about this, even when I watched it as a teenager, or gosh, I was in 95, so I was 18 at this point, like more older than that. But anyway, what I didn't understand, if the giant was supposed to be such a badass, why do they need an insurance policy?
Well, when you have a chance to get the Yeti to back you up, Steve, it doesn't matter
right.
how tough you are, how what the expectation is. You need to take advantage of that.
You know, as with many insurance policies, it involves long descriptions of actuarial tables.
Yeah, that is true. Wrestlers morph into monster trucks.
Live.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. I got to jump off the call. I got to contact my local cable operator.
Call him now. I wonder what they'd say if you called and said, I want to order Halloween Havoc 1995. Somehow, I think Cox would find a way to charge you somehow, I'm sure. All right, you're all set.
You're all set. That'll be $44.95.
Yeah, Cablevision would find something to add on.
Yeah, definitely. Just the Dolans.
What's your cable down there, Will?
Sorry, I got a kid crisis here, guys.
All right, take care
of
that.
In a couple of seconds.
Tina Yeller's in the front row there with who's that guy next to her?
That purple and orange shirt was very 90s.
Yes, it was.
The thin pencil mustache. Like fucking Everlast or some shit.
Hogan's neck is like a centimeter longer this week. He's just pressing it out.
that neck brace is just... Ugh, God,
Rangers. Someone had a Rangers jersey in Alabama?
Yes, Rangers jersey.
Pathetic.
You think he even took this black outfit off? It's like skin tight. You think he just left it on for the duration of his angle and then peeled it off at the end, threw it out?
Now, it is important to note that Hogan was announced first as the star of Thunder in Paradise before he was announced as the World Heavyweight Champion. So priorities.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, who cares about the title, Steve?
The star of Thunder in Paradise by the
bye. Is that
also
the necklaces,
heavyweight champion of the company.
The necklaces are put on underneath the neck brace.
Where's Brew, brother?
That is a good catch.
It's been 3 weeks since he had the mustache shaved, and he hasn't been able to grow it back since.
He's keeping it off as
a reminder.
Yeah.
Brother.
Yeah.
Did Kevin Sullivan shave off the rest of it, or did he take care of the middle?
I think he took care of the middle. He realized he looked like Hitler, had to take care of it.
Got a good wax, brother.
That's right. It's not go down this. Go down that.
No, I know. Again.
I don't think we can stop it.
A good Nitro watcher.
Hogan all animated. They're really hyping this up. I mean, they put some pretty good hype into Havoc between this match and then the Sting and Flair one.
Just said it, big nasty giant.
Big stinky wart-infested giant.
So
he's more
nasty.
Stuck in the black gloves and the black clothes this time than he is on the stinky giant. Oh, dear Lord, he took... He is healed.
He is risen.
I mean, he's come this far. Why not tease it right into the match, you know, to really put over that He's faking it.
Because the chain was choking him, that's why.
You know what this means? If he can just throw off the neck brace like this, by Sunday he's going to have that mustache back.
And four extra crosses.
Guys, he's going to go by, talk to his friend Tony over at the Harley dealership in California, get himself a big Harley, and drag the giant behind him until he turns to ashes.
Get myself a big hog.
That's got to be illegal. Even if he is nasty.
What's that?
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
If I was your Hogan, the things I'd do to you.
Christ, that's what I come back on the air for.
Nasty. Save us, please.
That should have been Knobs and Sags' theme.
Yes.
Nasty boys.
He's just babbling at this point.
Yeah, he's just rambling on.
Talked about his friends and then said he's going to beat them anyway. I'm going to beat the Sting. I'm going to beat the Macho Man. I'm going to beat Luger.
Every so often, Jimmy Hart tries to get the title into the shot, but he can't.
A lot of absurdity. Will, you didn't miss much here.
Not a match.
I'm not really big on Hogan interviews from 1995.
American Male's coming up on Saturday night.
Harlem Heat.
Getting a shot at the Harlem Heat.
Luger and the Shark. Hogan with the neck brace. We'll have it back on for Saturday night. Can never be too careful on Saturday nights.
That's right.
Here we go. Now we're getting a match.
Definitely. You can feel the go-home-ness of this episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Compared to the last one.
Anyone else get a chill when they showed the big ice block?
I think I saw that in my driveway on the way home tonight.
No, give it a couple of months.
All right, who's coming out?
I'm expecting you to come out of the Glen on Saturday, just out of the ice block.
I'll do what I can.
I like these.
I always thought that these guys were the greatest tag team of their time. Like, not in terms of actual delivering great tag performances, but just as individuals, I thought, man, this is a tag team made in heaven.
Mm. Yes, the badassery as they walk to the ring. Like, yes, that's a coined term.
It hurt someone.
Pimp black and yellow pants, too, for Benoit. Pretty cool, the tights. So is it 2-on-3? Alex Wright's got the crutches.
Oh, Mr. JL.
Mr. JL.
Advertised at the previous Nitro that it was going to be Alex Wright and Guerrero. The kid's like, get me the heck out of here. I got my jeans hiked up to my belly. I got a Guess jean shirt on and a Hogan durag.
I have experienced an injury.
Have any of you all ever seen Alex Wright's father wrestle?
No.
No.
You really
no.
should. If
Charles
you can
Wright?
Pick up. No. Shit.
Yeah. No, him on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
No, that's his illegitimate brother. No, his father is a really great wrestler. You really should check him out.
In Europe or U.S.?
In Europe and in Japan. Did some New Japan early on in the early 80s. Stephen Wright. Oh. Wait, that's a famous comedian. Fuck.
Yeah, he's...
Shit.
Kurosawa Wright.
Christ. No, I got myself double guessing what his name is because I'm thinking of the comedian.
Diamond Dallas Wright, is that it? No.
Got a tattoo of myself. But bigger.
Hulk Christ.
Wright? They get Steve Wright.
Well, I mean, it was Steve, yeah. I really like Benoit's tights.
I do too.
Yeah, those are pretty sweet.
I was thinking over that powerbomb from episode one.
I'm having stardust visions with those tights. I don't know what the hell y'all are talking about.
They're awesome.
That would have been a pretty cool move. Well, that was a very cool.
Little quick
side.
Quick sequence there.
Mm.
It is Steve Wright, Will. You're correct.
Yeah, I looked it up too. I was okay. Ooh. Yeah, when I said Steven Wright, I was like, oh shit, wait, that's the comedian. I completely threw me off my game. What the hell?
Nice. Eddie just threw JL beautiful. Over the top rope.
Wow. Speaking of guys in t-shirts, uncomfortable moment for TNA just now. They were panning the crowd, and some guy was wearing a Kevin Owens t-shirt. So they quickly went back to the ring.
Outstanding.
That was a nasty spot there, though. Eddie just JL charge. Eddie picked him up and just heaved him over the top onto Malenko and Benoit.
Mm.
That's funny because you remember back during this time, the Attitude Era, man, there were NWO shirts all over those Raw crowds.
Oh yeah,
shots. Mm-hmm. There were Austin shirts all over the Nitro crowd shots.
There's no way you can control it.
Yeah,
and in that era, one went to a show without 100 people or 1,000 people bringing signs about the other promotion.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't think either company gave a shit at that point because they were just counting all the fucking money they were raking in. So they're like, whatever you want to fucking wear, we don't give a shit. Buy more merch.
The first time I remember hearing about them trying to do crowd control with signs and what people brought in was during the lead up to WrestleMania 17 when they were trying to control the Rocky Sucks.
Oh, right. Yep.
Signs yeah.
And whatnot. Mm-hmm. And confiscating signs around that era. That's about the time I remember thinking, wait a minute. I thought this was the company that listened to their fans. And
right. I mean, that was their big hook from, 98, 99, 2000. They were the underdog, the people's company.
Oh, the internet got going on favorite. Backstage here.
Scott Norton exploding with the shark.
Forget this cruiserweight shit. We got the shark fighting someone.
Bunkhouse
better than the Zodiac. That's what I was going to say. I'd rather watch the shark 100 times than watch the Zodiac.
Bunkhouse Buck?
Is that Terry Taylor as well? Man. Was in there?
No, that's Slater.
It's Slater.
Slater and
Slater, yeah.
Good stable.
There's a lot of masks back there and a lot of face paint.
Fucking shark.
Good match so far in the ring. Again, more... real fast-paced action.
Yeah.
I remember Jerry Lynn as JL, but I don't remember how much he looked like Rey Mysterio in terms of the outfit.
Yeah, he definitely did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely did.
With the exception of the pointed nose on the mask.
See, I'm getting a Blitzkrieg vibe here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a good one.
I think he looks like Bismarck.
Oh, boy.
You mean from North Bismarck? Dakota?
Or the donut.
Yes. He was wearing.
I still North swear there was a guy named Bismarck, but whatever.
Yeah, Bismarcky, just a friend.
Just a friend.
Or is my kid's name the guy on Yo Gabba Gabba?
Hey, you.
Are they shaving Jeremy Borash's giant head?
You'll job when I need you to.
But like, why the fuck is Jeremy Borash even on TV? Nobody gives a fuck about that guy.
He has got the oddest shaped head ever.
Well, about the CLL even more
just kissed his head. Weird. Anyway, this match is fantastic.
Do the commercial. Dean now punishing Liz Markey. Nice belly to belly.
Suplex.
Liz Markey. North Dakota Key.
Liz Mark. When we get to those night shows in 2018, it'll be fun watching a lot of matches.
Can't get over how
hemorrhoids from
doing tights
sitting
are,
on the
though.
Floor watching these for the next 4 years.
These must all be his Japan tights with a star on them. Mm-hmm. That's just such a badass color combo. Reminds me of Rocky's robe in Rocky II.
They're going to get another great power bomb, but JL spins out of it.
Power bombed himself pretty much.
It's hard to keep talking about the match when I find myself just kind of really being mesmerized by how fun and how good it is.
Yeah, nice quick tags between Malenko and Benoit.
I mean, even Nitro, because we've been talking about how unique and different Nitro was for his debut, but even this makes what was on Nitro in the 4 or 5 weeks prior look so dated.
Yeah.
Not definitely. Even, never mind ODF, I mean, definitely laps whatever was on October 95 WWF.
Probably got, the Smoking Guns were probably in a tag match and take this over them any day.
They still haven't really talked about what's going on with Alex Wright.
Oh, he's got a knee injury.
Yeah, you got four of the best wrestlers in the world in the ring. Let's talk about Alex Wright.
Did you like Alex
Wright?
Well,
hold on. No, I thought he sucked. I've always thought Jerry Lynn was overrated, too. Never been a Jerry Lynn fan. Never.
Here's my thing with Jerry Lynn is that, you know, it's kind of going back to you talking about Norman Smiley previously. Like, I met him during the ECW days, and he was just such a nice man.
Likewise.
I have heard that.
Just completely stood out from the rest of the guys. I met him at, like, basically, like, the Access of, I think it was, like, Heat Wave 98 or something like that, or Anarchy Rules. And, like, he could not have been a nicer person. Just stood out like a sore thumb compared to some of the other creatures that were at that place. And just sat and talked to my girlfriend, who's my wife now, and could not have been more pleasant. So I've always had, like, a soft spot in my heart for him, even though maybe not one of my favorites.
One thing I'll say, like, in ECW, he had a lot of guys that helped him make him – or that made him look good, whether Van Damme, even Carino. Helped him look really good.
Sure.
Do y'all really like those Jerry Lynn Rob Van Dam matches? I don't know. I just think they're really overrated.
I was at the one at Hardcore Heaven 99. It was one of the best live matches I've ever seen.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that one too.
I don't know. Not a fan. Just, I don't know. I like big spots, but if you're not going to sell the damage of the big spots, you know, I just it, to me, it's meaningless. It's dancing.
I can't recall which one was, because some of those I haven't seen since they were actually on originally. What was the one where was it Van Damme or Lynn guy incredibly busted up though from that? Was that 99 or
no? That was
Living Dangerously.
Living Dangerously, yeah.
Tonight, Raw on this night, Raw was doing a 4-show taping in Brandon, Manitoba.
God,
can you imagine being at that? And
was that coming off of in your house?
I think so.
It was coming off in your house four.
And on that night, on the live night, this specific night, Owen won a 20-man battle royal to earn an IC title shot.
I do remember that.
Yeah, that was the night after In Your House 4, which was obviously the disaster show with Vince get pissed off at the end. So this was kind of the Raw cycle, the transition between the real dead era and them starting to turn things around a little bit.
Avatar debuted on that night. And title change, Alundra Blaze won back her women's title from Bertha Faye.
Oh, I can't believe they gave JL the victory.
Right, of all these guys. Great match, though.
Yeah.
I don't know who was the face and who was the heel in that match.
Eddie and JL, definitely. Benoit's, because Malenko's been a heel, I think, and Benoit.
Okay. So then Alex Wright, you know, cheated for no reason, because it wasn't like Malenko and Benoit were cheating there.
Mm.
It was a pretty clean match.
It's the Germans. You can't trust them.
Yeah.
Well, what?
Nice pulling. Jumping Eddie in the aisle. DDT on the floor.
That's assault and battery.
I always love how he threw up the four fingers every time, no matter what he did. He almost did it in such a taunting way. It's like him giving a middle finger, basically, him doing the four fingers.
Atlanta Braves hat in the crowd.
No, they were in the World Series at this point.
Yeah. Yes.
No, boy.
That cut off jean shirt as well.
It's little Chad Campbell. Made the trip to Alabama.
Oh, I like
sensational Sherry is Chad Campbell.
One last time we had to get this commercial in. Couldn't escape it. One last run.
I'll be seeing it in my nightmare.
I'm gonna miss it.
Poor Vader. God.
Yeah.
poor Vader.
Jobbed out and humiliated.
Now I'm concerned that we're going to get like another Sting and Lex Luger and Macho Man promo in the ring where they're all pointing at each other. Because we've seen those a few times now.
Well, that one the last week or so. We're due for it. I wonder if we'll see the Yeti tonight.
They'll
get lucky.
It was an off night for the World Series on that night. The Braves were up 2-0, winning the first two at home. And game three was the next night in Cleveland.
It's an interesting outfit for Sherry.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Business casual Sherry.
Yes.
Yeah, I had that doll growing up.
So when do they officially become Booker and Stevie Ray? Because I'm watching at the end of 93, there's still Kane and Cole as a battle bowl. Is it like early 94?
That's the worst Seuss rhyme ever.
Were they Kane and Cole at War Games? Or was
Kane and Cole at Battle Bowl. Kane and Cole they were.
I have a feeling I think they're Kane and Cole for a while.
I think this is a nominee 95. For most WCW moment.
Yeah,
the guys with the shittiest face paint ever. Just scrawling letters on themselves. Or worse, scrawling letters on their friends.
Well, there wasn't as much to do in the 90s as there is now. The guy from the, looks like the dad from Family Ties was in the background there.
The large lady with the checkered.
Somebody with an Alabama starter jacket on.
Yeah, it was 94. It says here, in 1994, they acquired the services of Sensational Sherry, dubbed Sister Sherry, as their manager, and changed their names back to Booker T and Stevie Ray at their request. So it was 94.
Sting, the U.S. heavyweight champion, again, not wearing his belt for the second week in a row.
Well, he's in a tag match, Steve. He's not
was he really the U.S. champion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he defended on one of the shows we did last time.
Sting is scaring the shit out of some kid in the front row. There we go. Oh, he liked it.
Sting's still rocking the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he just rolled out of bed, threw on his face paint, come
red
to the
and yellow, too. Look at more. Harlem Heat's got it on. Sting's got it on.
Earthquake,
yeah, that's not,
shark,
that's not banned
Zodiac.
At all.
Luger says, screw that, I'm wearing my black.
Because Hogan's wearing black.
That's right.
This isn't one of the times that Luger put on face paint in solidarity with Sting.
No. Thought he only did that at the Bash. Or did he do that more than... Maybe did that, maybe
did
it more than...
Yeah.
That's the they all had the camo paint on, right?
Mm.
You could tell that, yeah, here you can really see, even from a distance, Sting's hair starting to darken up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody's red and yellow. Everybody believes in Hulkamania.
Everybody's got a hungry heart.
It's the strongest force in the universe, Scott.
It is the strongest force in the universe, except for Luger, who says... When Hogan wears black, it's the strongest force in the universe. And now he's going to wear Hogan's neck brace because he wants his neck to be an extra 6 inches.
Yes. I saw this on an infomercial one time, brother.
Take it off
you
my
back. You can add size, length, and girth.
You know what they say about a man with a long neck? He can wear any collar he wants.
Sting dominating Booker T early on.
This show reminds me of a dream match I always wanted to see. And that's a Stevie Ray versus Karasawa.
The director?
Where would that rank on your top 50 matches we never got to see?
About 12.
So you figure solidly in your top 15? Is there room to move there?
No, there's not a lot of wiggle space.
I see. Got this down to a science. I understand.
There's a really in-depth formula to the whole thing. Yeah.
Luger really fighting out of that devastating nerve hold where Stevie Ray's is placing his hands on his back.
Yes.
A lot of red and yellow in this match.
It's everywhere.
We almost had no Nick Patrick, JR. Pee-wee did back-to-back matches, the first two, and Nick Patrick comes out here for the main event.
Is this the main event? This show's gone quickly.
Yeah, it definitely is the main event, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
While we're here for a second, let's talk about we didn't grade the first episode, which I mean, it was strong on that one match, so we usually go out of 10, so let's go with Glenn.
Oh, goodness. I'm going to say 6.5.
Steve?
I'm going to go high. I really liked it. I'm going to go 7.5.
Will, your grade for the first episode we watched?
I'd give it an 8.
Yes.
I think all the matches were, even the Haku Duggan match was fun. And the bullshit was kept to a minimum. We didn't get any King Curtis promos. No, 8. Solid show.
Greeny?
For a 1-hour episode, can't ask for more.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Yeah, I'm going 7 as well. How about you, Scott?
I'm going Will. I think I'd give it an 8. I think all three matches were really good, very entertaining.
Very good. Strongest, maybe our strongest one so far.
Well, that's in comparison to this show or this week's Raw, you know? Oh, God.
This week's Raw is a 1.
Actually, just listen to the crowds. I mean, I kind of cheated. I know Willie's our official earpiece here on the show.
Yes.
But I do have the volume just a little bit, and you can hear these crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike about the last 3 months of Raw, where it's been complete silence, even for good matches.
Yeah, no, I agree. The crowds, I mean, that's one of the biggest things we watch in these shows. Even the 93 Raws, the crowds are so red hot.
What is Sherry doing down there? She taking a picture.
Missing a photograph.
Robert,
looks like she has a Polaroid.
Of her, Polaroid mm-hmm. of her Robert Fuller.
Polaroid selfie.
Right out of her panties.
Who's the? Is that her and Robert Parker?
Yeah. Yep.
I was wondering when we saw Robert Parker earlier if we'd have any develop. Whoa! Here we go. Got another. Is this going to be a hot one?
That's love right there.
Mm-hmm. And I heard you say my name. Like, I was really distracted by Heenan trying to explain to Bischoff and McMichael what a Yeti was.
A Yeti is a man who wore a neck brace for a real long
time. It's like a Bigfoot.
He's got a neck brace all over his body.
Man, I've gotten Glenn to crack up a few times tonight. I feel like I'm really feeling it.
You should go to open mic night.
I know, right?
The Comedy Factory.
As long as the whole crowd is Glenn, I'm good. Tapping into something.
I've been putting my microphone on mute to keep from the Darth Vader coming out, you know? The heavy mouth breathing.
As long as you don't fall asleep. With that
I'm awake, man. These shows have been entertaining. Oddly enough, even this shitty show has been more entertaining than recent Raws.
It seems like Stevie Ray is pretty much choking Luger. It's pretty much under his chin, double choke, and Nick Patrick's not even noticing. Wow, side slam.
There it is. Second break, or are we just checking out the block?
Okay, checking out the spot.
I'm going to see things from the Yeti's perspective. And now. Got to get Yeti cam in here.
Yeti cam.
We're going to see the Harlem Hangover.
We're going to see the opposite side of paper mache. That's what the Yeti cam is, pretty much.
I really hope we see him tonight, but I have a feeling we're not going to.
I think we are, because if I remember correctly at Halloween Havoc, I think he already had come down the ramp. So I'm pretty sure it's going to happen here.
Somebody with a Maple Leaf jersey walking by.
Hmm.
So far for Halloween Havoc, we got the Hogan Giant. I remember not to call him the Big Show, guys. Monster Truck match. We've got the Flair thing. What else we got going on for the pay-per-view?
Savage Kamala.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's all they've really announced.
There was that brawl with the shark and the...
Norton.
Is that leading up to something?
I don't know. Willie, have they talked about any other matches?
No, they haven't talked about anything else there. I don't know if that's going to be at Halloween Havoc.
Well, Glenn, you know when we do the Raw live watches, Roger's our guy who watches the pay-per-views because he hasn't really seen them and then he reports back. So this is going to be your job for the Nitro, so...
Yeah, I'll be on it.
You watch Havoc and then you report to us what you thought.
Yes, sir.
Nice clothesline off the ropes. Sting gets the win.
Win it.
Well, yeah, there it is.
Whoop, there it is. They love that. WCW fans love that. In 1993, every show they chanted, whoop, there it is, no matter who was on the ring.
Giant and Sullivan hitting the ring.
Maybe we'll see the Yeti. Maybe Hogan comes out. Let's see. I'm getting excited. Chokeslam by Giant.
You are faces. We do not like you.
Goodbye, Sting. Was Giant the first guy to lay out doing a chokeslam?
I think so. Sid definitely never did.
Savage hitting the ring.
Yeah, Macho Man's here to take a lot of hits.
I know, right? What's the point of him making a save? Is he going to immediately get
chokeslammed?
Except here if he's just the distraction for the big man. Yeah, the big man.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to see the Yeti tonight. Yeah, stand back, brother. This guy's dangerous.
He looks so weird shaved.
He does.
I can't get over it. And with the longer neck.
Me and Brew going to take this guy down.
Willie, listen to that crowd.
Yeah, they're going crazy.
That shit for this. Dude, could you imagine if Scott's boy Triple H like gave a pedigree to Cena, Ziggler, and Ryback all on one show?
All at the same time.
Like seven people might cheer.
And Scott's
wow. Wow, you waited an hour and 40 minutes, didn't you?
Uh-oh.
Really?
Scott, really? Even you have to admit, man. Those crowds.
No, I don't got to admit anything to you.
Comatose.
The end of Raw, I love the kid. I'm not getting into it with you. Forget it. I don't care about Kurosawa, your 900 matches.
Hogan hulking up on the Giant. Give me Yeti.
Oh, the punches carry so much more force behind them when he's hulking up.
Well,
that's our next debate. Scott, that's our next debate. Triple H or Kurosawa. Who would you rather watch?
Whose movies would you rather watch?
And then I'm gonna pedigree you and Dylan or whoever your guy you'll get is.
I'm going to no-sell that pedigree and put you in the torture rack. Sorry.
Or you can do the Asiatic spike. Big brawl in the ring.
Going to no-sell you in a pin you in about 12 seconds like Warrior. And then have a heart attack.
Meanwhile, Hogan and Savage are taking on about six guys. Luger and Sting are just kind of hanging out.
Why does Doug Dillinger have like a fucking club or something?
Like a bully club? How come he didn't get chokeslammed? Come on, Hogan, throw him out of the ring.
Well, that was a hot finish on the show for us, for them,
how much
everyone.
Time we got? We only got 20 seconds on there. We're going to see the...
No Yeti for us.
No Yeti. Maybe it happened on the pre-show.
Ominous shot of the ice. Yes!
That's a giant.
It is.
Dildo.
Wait a minute. It is a giant. Or a giant piece of shit, like the design.
There it is! Yeah!
Yes!
The Yeti!
This was an 11.
Yes, the exploding penis cube.
All right, I think we have our most WCW moment, is the Yeti exploding out of the penis cake at the end.
The penis cake! Oh, it's so cold, but I got to fan myself. I got the vapors.
Speaking of Triple H, that's Scott's cake for him right there. The fucking big penis on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Chris, I would never get anything that good.
That might be one of the greatest endings to a TV show ever.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so no doubt we have our most WCW moment right there. Match of the night, I'm going with the tag. The Benoit tag.
The Benoit tag, yeah.
Any disagreements?
No, not at all.
No, none.
Most random appearance, I'm guessing, is the Yeti.
The Yeti or Dick Slater and...
But hold on. Is that... Yeah, no, the guy is in the back. Yeah, like Dick Slater's popping up.
All right.
That's random. Yeah. Yeti was anticipated. That was a truly...
Highly anticipated.
Highly anticipated moment in wrestling history.
All right, we'll go with Dick Slater. I like it.
And then most 90s, we already stated Mongo's shirt.
Oh, yeah, Mongo.
Shirt, yes.
Yeah. All right, grade for this one, Will.
5.
Yeah, Steve?
Almost entirely on the back of that great tag match.
Hey, yeah, I'm going to go 5.5.
Glenn?
I'm going to go 6.
Scott?
I'm going to go 5.5.
Greeny?
I'm going to go 6.
I'm going to go 5.5, and it only got bumped up because the end... the beauty of, well, first that camera shot early with the giant and everything, but then the beauty of the Yeti just does this awesome, I don't know how like closely everyone's watching it, the way he stomps and blows out of the thing is like he does this weird, like his foot comes forward and he slams his hands across and like you can kind of see what he is, but you can't, and they just go black. It was the most beautiful cinematography of all time.
You know what? I was just about to say this. Kurosawa truly has had an influence on you because you are truly thinking like him with that groundbreaking cinematography discussion.
We should check IMDb because he might have directed this episode as well as participated in it. But all right, so there's your Nitro Rewatch. A fun episode as always. Will, hopefully you'll join us again for one of these in the future here.
Dude, just holler at me, man. I want you on a reaction show, man.
All right, I'll see. Maybe the Rumble. I'll call you back on the walk back to the hotel or something. I'll
Scott, we miss you, buddy. Come on back.
Definitely try to make one.
Oh, well, that's right. The Rumble, y'all are going to the Rumble.
We'll
right?
be there. So mail try and call in from the road there.
That would be fun. Or I don't know. What's after Rumble? It's not Extreme Chamber anymore. Or Elimination.
Fastlane.
Is that if that's the long weekend, I might be able to swing it. Is that the President's Day weekend? Yeah, Fastlane.
Yeah, that's what we call it. Yeah, it's not Elimination Chamber anymore. It's Fastlane.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Is there anything you like? God.
Yeah, but I don't like stupidity. I mean, they own Halloween Havoc. They own Great American.
They can't do that
Dash.
In February.
They should do that in February.
No, but Halloween
Havoc. That would be them, right? Do Halloween Havoc in fucking February.
They own War Games. They own Uncensored. I mean, these are simple names, catchy names. They
should have just kept No Way Out. You know,
No Way Out was awesome. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like. I mean, come on, man. I mean, Scott, really, you're not defending the current day product, are you?
Oh, my God. You want to stay
save it, save it for Man of Minute. We're going to wrap up here.
I'm sorry, fellas. Scott, you and I, we're gonna have a WWE discussion, man, on another show.
I want to hear it. We're going to get him on. We've got to make it happen. Sorry. For Will, Steve, Glenn, Greeny, Scott, and myself, we're out. We'll be back later this week with Ken Shamrock. Check that one out. We off next Monday, Scott? What are we doing? I don't know. We're here. Raw Rewatch, right, next Monday?
Yes, Raw Rewatch on Monday, and then Kevin
AK
and
main event.
Yep.
Terry Silkin on Kevin Kelly Show, so look forward to that as well. So we'll talk to you with Ken, and then next week from Raw with the usual crew. Willie, you'll be back, I'm sure. And then
I will be back. I just sit in front of the TV with a microphone in front of my face waiting for the call.
All right. Sounds good, Dennis.
Big main event next week.
Go write some poetry in between. All right, we're out. Take care, everyone.
Hey.
Scott's got a hungry heart for Triple H.
Did you miss him that the 3 days he was off TV?
Of course I did. I'm sure you loved it. I'm sure you loved it.
He was at his apartment. Will.
Well,
he
guess what?
Him too much.
He's back, so deal with it.
Oh, it's horrible, man. It's a painful, painful reminder of how
your
bad
world,
that show
man.
Is.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty, nasty boys.